The Lord's not done with me in that chapter, so we're just going to be over there, and Lord willing, we'll see what comes of it. I was thinking about what to preach of, and you know, lo and behold, he brought me right back to there, and I'm going to do the first 11 verses of chapter 8 of John. So, I want to talk this evening about a God of second chances. Amen? He is a God who is willing to give us a second chance and give you a second chance this evening. All right, John 8. 1 through 11. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, when they had set her in the midst. They said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commands us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they had continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go, and sin no more. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this evening, Lord, I just give you the praise and give you the glory and give you the honor, Lord, for your word, for your scripture, and Father, for your holy Bible that we have the opportunity, Lord, to speak on this evening. I pray, Lord, this evening, Lord, that now that the words would go out, Lord, the way that you would have them, I pray this evening, Lord, that if there's any here, Lord, this evening, that it touches, Lord. I pray that they would be touched this evening and moved, Lord, to do just exactly what you want them to do in their lives. And Jesus, Lord, can't help but give you the praise and the glory for it all. And amen. Amen. I've never met a man or a woman who doesn't have a past. Do you understand that? I've never met a one. Never have I spoken to a man or a woman who doesn't include, in their life doesn't include a yesterday, doesn't include a last week, and doesn't include a last year. I've never spoken to any of you in here that has not had that in your life. And if someone has a past, you can be assured he or she has made mistakes scattered throughout that life. Am I right? If you've lived longer than 10 years, 15 or 16 years, you've made mistakes in your life. Am I right? You've done it. And if every one of us has a past, then why do we so often feel isolated, alone, and ashamed of what we've done? There are people who battle with that on a constant basis. Do we understand that also? That sometimes at their past, it brings them down to the point to where they cannot function, where Jesus wants them to function. They cannot function that way because they're constantly being reminded of that past and what has went on in their lives. They're constantly doing it. Why do we allow the shadow of our long ago to darken our today sometimes? There are people who do that. They let what has happened in the past darken what's going on in their life right now. Jesus may be wanting to bless you beyond measure, but he cannot bless you if you're letting your past ruin what he's got for you today. And there are people who let that happen. The answer is a matter of perspective, folks. Really, it is a matter of perspective. When we look back at our lives, usually we see the mistakes through what? We see them through guilt. We see them through remorse. We see them through fear of judgment that people put upon us. The old axiom says that, you know what? Hindsight's always 20/20. And that is probably true. We can look back at the mistakes we've made in our past, and we can drudge them up all we want to. And we can look and say, well, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. Why? Because hindsight is 20/20. That's exactly right. But you know what? We can't live in that way. We can't live in that life all the time. We cannot do that. Jesus does not want us to do that. He does not want us. Permissible behavior may now shock us. That what we thought in the past was right may now shock us to death sometimes if we see it, right? I know there's things that I would never want my kids to do that I've done, and you could probably say the same thing. But you know what? We cannot live in those mistakes all the time. We cannot do it. The bigger question we should be asking ourselves is how our Heavenly Father sees us. Am I right? He's not hampered. He's not even influenced by some dirty lenses by which we look at our own self through, right? He's not influenced that way. He sees us in crystal clarity. He sees us that way. That's how God looks. He sees us completely. He sees us free of guilt. He sees us with no remorse, and it tends to color our perception. Those things do. God does not see it that way. Whenever Jesus Christ looks at you as a child of God, He sees the blood of Jesus applied to your life. That's what He sees. He doesn't look at it like we look at it. I can look at Jason's life, and I'll use him as an example. And you know what? If I'd known Jason all my life and dredged up all the things that he has done, even though God has saved him, even though Jesus has saved him, you know what? I still look at somebody through rose-colored glasses, not in the aspect we think of. I look at him through tinted glasses because, you know what? That he has a past. Yes, we all have a past. We all do. We all, more than our loving Father looks upon us with the perfect lens of grace and forgiveness, only He can offer that. Only He can. Whenever I look at you, I can't really always look at you through the perfect lens of grace. I can't always look at you through the perfect lens of love sometimes. That's not the way God, as human beings we are. Yes, whenever Jesus saved us, we should have love one for another. But too many times, we can't love ourselves. We can't love ourselves because of our past. We just can't do it. Through our mistakes, we may hurt the Lord, but you know what? It may hurt Him, the mistakes that we make, but praise God, He loves us. He loves me and you, no matter what mistakes we have made. Let me ask you this. Is there any person who may have been in a situation where you really wanted something to work out, and it didn't happen? Have you ever been in that kind of a situation? You really, in your past, there was something that you really wanted it to work out, but it didn't, and you feel like you, if you had a second chance, if you feel that way, I know I could make it work now. Have you ever been in that situation? I've looked back on my life and seen many of mistakes that I've made, and I thought, you know what? If I'd had a second chance, I could have done better. I could have done this. But you know what? I cannot. And I found myself tearing myself down day after day and week after week, trying and trying and trying to relive those things sometimes. And it comes down to the point that I cannot do that. I cannot go back and make those things. Have you ever looked back over your life at some of the situations you've been involved in or the choices that you've made and think to yourself, if I've only had a second chance, if I only had. Sometimes we make mistakes in life and it feels like it's so final. Have you ever done that? Have you ever made a serious mistake and you may think that it's all over for you? Have you ever done that? I tell you what, there are people that I've talked to that feel like they've done stuff so bad in their past that there's no way that God could ever forgive them, not alone anybody else. Not alone anybody else. There are people that have made those kind of mistakes. Have you ever felt that way in your life? I tell you, there are many people that have. Let me tell you this. Church, I want you to know this evening, listen to me, that the game of life isn't like a ball game. It's not like that, in which you only have one chance to win the game. I want you to know this evening, we serve a God of second chances. Praise God this evening that the God that I serve, because I made mistakes in my life, didn't say, listen, that's it. I don't want nothing else to do with you. You know what? Because you have done wrong in your life, and you know what? I don't want anything to do. Praise God we serve a God of second chances. Thank God. Thank and praise Him every day for saving my soul. Saving me. And not only that, whenever I fail Him, I can go back to my altar, wherever it may be, and say, God, please forgive me. And He is just. He is righteous. He doesn't look at me through the eyes that I look at me through, or you may look at me through, but He looks at me through the eyes of love and says, yes, 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 I can forgive you. Because He is a God of second chances. Mercy means to extend help to the lowliest or to the most undeserving. That's what mercy means. You understand what I'm saying? Mercy implies compassion that overshadows all punishment. And I'll get into the message here just a little bit. Even when justice demands punishment, do we understand? Mercy says no. Every one of us in here deserve to die spiritually. Every one of us in here. But you know what mercy says? No. No, you don't. No, you don't. Mercy says, mercy and grace says, no, you do not deserve to die. You know why? Because though Adam sinned, and all sin was passed on to mankind, God saw enough of us. He looked at us through the lenses of love and grace and mercy that He did, and said, I will send my Son to die, and to the shed blood of Him shall give you all hope. And praise God, justice demands that each and every one of us here should die, but mercy stepped in and said no. That's exactly, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercies, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? Praise God this evening. Through His eyes, He looks at us and He told us, no, you don't deserve to die, Spirit. I want to give you the opportunity and the chance. And like I told you this morning, like Barabbas, whenever he didn't stay in that jail cell, whenever they told him that Jesus took his place, he got out of there and left. You don't have to do that this evening. Don't stay in that jail cell. Jesus Christ is willing. And He's willing to tell you, so great is God's mercy that it's almost inexpressible how we can try to explain God's mercy. God's mercy knows no limits. None. You know what? There's none. N-O-N-E. None beyond the saving power of Jesus Christ this evening. None. I don't care who they are or what they've done. Psalms 103:17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them who fear Him. His mercy has no end. Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. They, which are mercies, are new every morning. Great is thy fruitfulness. Do you understand? Every morning when you get up out of bed, His mercies are renewed to you. That should make you want to shout down your house when you step foot on that bed in the morning. His mercies that He bestowed are renewed to you every morning. That's not me, that's the Word of God. Believe it. I believe God's Word. I believe what He says. That today is a new day. Yet, why do so many of us choose to remain the same? Why do we choose to do that? Why do we choose to do that? Their attitudes, their habits, their lifestyle will go unchanged. Why? Because we fail to realize there is a new life in Christ Jesus available to all who ask. And His mercies are restored every morning. Don't live in the same old dragged down, woeful life sometimes that people want to put yourselves in because of past mistakes or because stuff not going wrong in your life. Listen to what I said. He said His mercies is renewed every morning. You can have joy in your life. You can do that by grabbing a hold of that and just grabbing that concept in your life and to understand that His mercy, He alone can wipe out the old and bring in a new. Jesus Christ Himself can do that for you. He can do that. He alone can give. He can give anyone a second chance. He can do that. John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right there should tell you right there. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive them. What happens so many times is we don't want to confess them. Or we want to give lip service to it and say, yes, I'm confessing. He's talking about a confession that comes from the heart. He's not talking about lip service or just trying to put something across it. You're not going to fool Him. He wants you to give it all. That's what He wants. And if we do that, He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You and I can take a man or woman and we can clean them up and put new clothes on them, give them a complete makeover, and send them out here, and they will be clean and look nice on the outside. But you know what? God is the only one that can clean up the part that really matters. He's the only one through His Son, Jesus, that can do the complete makeover from the inside out. He's the only one. You can take and change your hairstyle. You can change whatever you want to. But Jesus Christ will change the attitude from the inside out. He can do it. In the natural situation, it was hopeless. But with Jesus, this woman, right, I read to you about here this evening, got a second chance. She got a second. And notice, Jesus did not give her a second chance to go and commit the same sin over, did He not? What did He tell her? He told her to go and sin no more. That's exactly what He told her. He gave her a second chance. And you know what? She was probably, they were probably right in their attitude of saying, well, according to the law, that she could have been stoned. Maybe she was caught in the very act. But notice, Jesus gave her a second chance, and he didn't go on to condemn her. He didn't go to condemn her. And listen, we can learn from what he said. Jesus is showing us a lesson of condemnation when he says, neither do I condemn you. Why do so many of us want to condemn so many people sometimes? Because of what's happened in their past lives, or what's going on in their lives right now. So many of us want to condemn and put them down. Let's listen to what Jesus is saying here. He said, well, even when he was hanging on the cross, what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus is showing us how to handle condemnation upon others. Brothers and sisters, we need to put it aside. We need to lay it aside. John 13:15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Jesus Christ, I'll tell you what, he didn't condemn. He didn't condemn this lady right here. He didn't condemn her. He gave her a second chance. And praise God, we have got to give people a second chance in their life. Do we not? We have to do that. I am glad this evening to know that whenever I fall short, the Lord can tell me to come and you know what? And go and sin no more. I can give it to him, and he tells me to go and sin no more. Aren't you glad for that this evening? He just doesn't wipe you and take you out of here. Whenever you sin, or whenever something, you do something wrong in your life, he gives you that mercy. He gives you that grace because you failed in some area, and maybe you're confused and you've been running in the wrong direction. Jesus is telling you, run in my direction. Come to me. Just like he told, just like this lady right here. When Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, whenever the Holy Spirit comes and condemns you, and it will do that if you've done wrong. If you're a Christian, you're a child of God, I want you to know something this evening. The Holy Spirit will condemn you when you do stuff wrong. You'll know when you do it. There's no, I'm going to tell you right now, you will know when you've done something wrong. You know what you need to do? You need to come and get on your knees, wherever it may be, and you need to confess it to Jesus and to the Lord and say, Lord, I have sinned against you. I've done wrong against you. And you know what he'll do? Do you think he condemns you? No. He'll say, child, he said, welcome back again. Welcome back again. That's what he tells you. He doesn't condemn you. He said, neither do I. And praise God, I am thankful. I want you to know, even if you've messed up, God still has a plan for your life. You're sitting back here tonight. I don't know your heart. I don't know what's going on. You may think that God does not want, God has nothing to use you for. I want you to know, I don't care how much you've messed up. You get it right, and God still has a plan for your life. Look at Elijah. What was Elijah? Elijah was a great man of God, was he not? Look what he did. You know what? Over in 1 Kings 19, the prophet Elijah was used by mightily by God. You know what? For the prophets of Baal. And remember, he even outrun the chariot. Whenever he seen the cloud up there the size of a man's hand, remember he even outrun that chariot to get back to. But then Jezebel got his attention. You know that? Jezebel said she was going to destroy him and going to kill him. And what did Elijah, what did he do? He took and ran off. He took and ran. He was going to go and hide. And God found him. You know what God did? God sent him back out on his mission. Did he not? Even though he was down, even though he was the one who was, you know what, he had done mighty works, and now he was sitting around, he was bitter, he was upset because God allowed this to happen. I want you to know something. There are people who do that in their lives. They may serve God for a long time, and then something happens. And you know what, they get off the path that God has put them on. And I want you to know something. God's telling you this evening, if you're like that, listen to me. I want to use you. I can use you, and I will use you. Just give it back to me. Let me have it. And you know what? Elijah got faith. And when he disappeared, and you know what? Elijah did mighty, mighty works after that. Did he not? He did it. And praise God to see. I want you to know something. I want you to know this evening beyond a shadow of a doubt. God is a God of second chances. You're here this evening. Something's going on in your life, and you're saying, I don't know why, but you know what? I can't feel him like I used to. I don't know what's going on. God's a God of second chances. He is. He will draw you nigh to him through his son Jesus. He can lift you up. He can fill you again. Set your feet on that path again. Help you to get on fire for Him once more. And I'll tell you what, if you get on fire for God, there's no telling what you can do for Him. If you mind Him and listen to Him, there's no telling what He can use you for, because He is that kind of a God. Amen. He is that way. Look at old Paul. Or look at old Peter, I mean. Look what Peter did. He denied the Lord 3 times. You know what? He went and wept bitterly after he did that. You know, he had failed God. He failed Jesus bitterly. After he told him that he would not do that. He told him, Lord, not I ain't gonna fail you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. Lo and behold, what happened? He did it. He did that same thing. And you know what? Jesus got a hold of him again. Peter wept and repented. And you know what? He became the servant of God that he did. After the day of Pentecost, you never seen Peter turn his back on the Lord again, did you? He never did it. He even died. He even was crucified and hung upside down because he didn't feel he's worthy to be crucified the same way the Lord was. Praise God. God's a God of second chances. Just think if he wasn't a God of second chances. What if we didn't have Peter to look to as an example? What if we didn't have Elijah to look at as an example? What if we didn't have David to look at as an example? How he failed God. But then again, he repented, and God used him as a mighty one. Praise God this evening. He is a God of second chances. I believe that this evening. They come and get a song.